Good morning, everyone. Please join with me in singing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you for that. You may be seated. It's Sunday, May the 10th, 2020. Once again, we are in suspension for our church service. I hope and pray that you are doing well in this home isolation for most of us. Some of our folks are still working, and I pray for your safety on the job in these days. I believe we are coming to an end shortly of this quarantine. Premier Ford extended the emergency measures to May 19th, but I'm praying the restrictions for attendance will be lifted so we can get back together again. In the meantime, let us be faithful in our devotions and quiet times with the Lord Jesus. Let us trust Him completely in these days. And be assured, I am praying for you all and hope that you are all doing well. Today is also Mother's Day. So, happy Mother's Day to all of our moms here at Berean today. May God bless you in very special ways this day. Thank you for all you are and all you have done for the children that God has entrusted to you. For most of you, your children have grown up and are on their own with their own families, but you still care for them, I know, as moms always do. May this be a wonderful day for you, and may you receive all the good things that are due you from your family. Celebrations may be a little different this year, but our sentiments are no less than they are in every other year. We wish you a great Mother's Day. Here's a few interesting comments about mothers that I've come across. Someone said, it is never easy being a mother. If it were easy, fathers could do it. That was written by Anon, anonymous. A fellow by the name of John J. Plomp wrote, the one thing children wear out faster than shoes is parents. That's kind of true. Buddy Hackett, a famous comedian, had said one time, my mother's menu consisted of two choices, take it or leave it. Jeff Shaw wrote, when I was a boy, my mother wore a mood ring. When she was in a good mood, it turned blue. In a bad mood, it left a big red mark on my forehead. And then finally from Irma Bombeck, she said, when my kids become wild and unruly, I use a nice, safe playpen. And when they're finished, I climb out. Here's a poem by Herbert Farnham entitled God's Masterpiece. God took the fragrance of a flower, the majesty of a tree, the gentleness of morning dew, the calm of a quiet sea. The beauty of the twilight hour, the soul of a starry night, the laughter of a rippling brook, the grace of a bird in flight. Then God fashioned from these things a creation like no other. And when his masterpiece was through, he called it simply Mother. So may all our moms have a blessed and a happy day today. There's a couple of things for your prayer consideration. Mark Berry is back home from Perry Sound, and she tells us that Wayne is continuing to fail quickly every day. So please keep them in your daily prayers during your quiet times. I also heard this past week that Ansel Wright is doing very well. So praise the Lord for that good news, feeling the best, I'm told, that he has in a long time. So great for him. But continue to pray. And praying also for the Armstrongs, for Marv and Kathy, as they continue along their struggles with the cancer and all of the stuff that has to be done to take care of that. We're also praying for the end of this COVID-19 pandemic, that as things are beginning to open up this past weekend, more and more will take place over the next couple of weeks. And of course, relieving the restrictions on gatherings will be a great announcement for us here at the church. And so just keep these things in prayer. We're praying for one another in these days and for the Lord to look after us as a church. We realize that the church is not the building of bricks and glass and wood, but it is the people that belong here. And so we're asking the Lord to continue to bless, lead, guide, and direct in all of our lives in these days. So bow with me, if you would, for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come into your presence this morning. We are thankful to you for who you are and all that you have done in our lives, for our salvation, just for the blessings and the well-being that we have in this life. We want to give you the praise and glory. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you have done for us in dying on the cross for our sins and shedding your blood for the remission of that sin, for rising from the dead on the third day, as you said you would do, and that we have the opportunity, the great opportunity, to trust you as our Lord and Savior and find that forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. We thank you for each one that has trusted you this morning as their Savior and their Lord. We pray that you would help us to walk in that faith and to walk with you day by day, that you might be pleased in all of our lives. We thank you today that Marg is able to be back home, but we want to continue to remember Wayne in prayer as he is struggling and failing day by day. And I understand confined to to bed right now. He has a very difficult time getting out of bed, and they upped the pain meds as well. So we pray for him. It sounds like this is his the last few days for his life here on earth, but we thank you that he knows you as Lord and Savior, and that once his last breath is taken here on earth, the first thing he will see will be the Lord Jesus in glory. And we thank you for that hope and promise that you have given to us in your word, that when we're absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. We pray that your grace might be a sufficient strength for Marg and for the rest of the Berry family, and that you would just help them to endure and to continue on trusting you for not only the life of Wayne, but for the well-being of the family as well. We want to give you praise that Ansel is doing very well, as we've heard, and thank you, Lord, for that turnaround for him. We know he was feeling pretty bad there for a little while and just not able to be to church, no strength in his legs. And so we thank you that he is feeling much better and pray that you'll continue to bless him. Watch over Marv and Kathy as well as they continue on in their treatments for the cancer for Marv. Thank you for your blessings in their lives, and that there have been no real weird or difficult side effects from the chemo. And we pray that you'll continue to bless. And as he looks forward to this appointment with another specialist, we trust, Lord, that it will show that the tumor has shrunken and perhaps even gone by now. We pray to that end, but we also ask for your will to be accomplished in their lives. Father, it has been a bit of a struggle for some these last 8 weeks, being confined to home or self-isolation. Some of our folks not working and having been laid off from jobs, can't just get out and about so easily just now. And so I pray that you'll continue to undertake for each one of our church family here during these difficult days. And for those who are working still, we thank you for that and for their jobs, and pray that you will bless them in it and keep them safe from anything untoward during those times. And we certainly look forward to the end of this whole pandemic thing, the whole emergency measures that have been given to us as a province and a country, indeed the whole world struggling with this, although some countries have not gone to the extremes that Canada has and seem to be doing okay. We just trust and pray that our leaders know what they're doing, and that this will be an okay thing for us, that it's been helpful to curb the spread of the virus. But we also know, Lord, that it's important and good for us to be out and about, and not only for our spiritual well-being, our physical well-being, but our whole mental well-being as well. And so I pray, Lord, that you just keep us safe, keep us trusting you, and that we will look forward to the day when we're able to be back together here in our church building. We pray that you would be with us in this morning service as well, that it might be a blessing to those who will listen. And we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Couple announcements for you. Because today is Mother's Day, we have gifts for all of our moms today. Nice gifts for you, but we'll have to keep them for you until we get back together again. You'll just have to wonder what the gift will be. I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to wait and see. Maybe some anticipation there for wondering what that gift might be to recognize Mother's Day for you. But just know that when we're back together, we will have that gift available for all of our ladies here at Berean. Secondly, our church treasurer, Dave Emmons, was able to put an extra $15,000 down on the principal of our mortgage last week. Our mortgage is now down to just about $50,000. We have 7 months yet to go in this year, and with the opportunity to put another amount down on the principal a little bit later in the year, not just on the anniversary date of the mortgage, but they're going to allow us to do that one more time a little later in the year. So thank you for your faithful giving to the Lord through Berean Baptist Church and for the extra gifts to the Mortgage Challenge. I appreciate your great generosity and thank you for your gifts. Number three, our missionary of the month for May is the Little family: Greg, Amanda, Michaela, Levi, Seth, and Avery. They are church planting where? If you said St. Lucia, you are correct. That is where they are, although right now they are in Nova Scotia, enduring through this quarantine situation as well. I'm praying for McCoo Baptist Church down in St. Lucia, and I'm pretty sure that Greg is in pretty constant contact with the folks who are down there, praying for that church and for the Littles, and praying that they'll be able to get back to the island in due time. Number four, it's going to be Lorraine Redding's 90th birthday this Thursday. And so I want to extend many happy returns to you, Mom, on behalf of all of us here at Berean. May it be a happy, isolated birthday for you on the Thursday. And although there won't be any big party or anything like that, or open house that we had planned for but not able to do now, perhaps a call might be a nice gesture. And then lastly, let's keep one another in prayer. I've not heard that any of our folks are sick with the flu, and I trust that it will continue that way. So keep in touch and let us know how you're doing along the way. We have a special ministry of music at this time, the little song called I Am So Blessed. I trust that you will enjoy this song, that it might indeed bless your heart.
Contain how I've been blessed.
Thank you for that message and song. Today, I've asked Joe Scott to preach the message. He recorded this message at home, and I've added it here for your edification and for your blessing. He'll be speaking from Psalm 6 this morning, so get your Bible open to the Psalms to read along with Joe And we'll invite Joe to come and speak to us now.
Good morning. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm number 6, if you would, please. Psalm 6 is a psalm of David. He says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake, for in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All the night make I my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears. My eye is consumed because of grief. It waxeth old because of all mine enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. This psalm starts right off the bat with, Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. It is as though he's quite aware that he has sinned, done something wrong, and that God's going to chasten him. He says, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. The Bible tells us that there is no son that God receives that is not chastened. He chastens every son that he receives, and every daughter for that matter as well, every one of us. The Lord chastens to correct us. And there's so much to learn from the life of King David, and a man after God's heart, and so many things in his life that we can learn that can be helpful to us. We all sin and fail our Lord. Sadly, we sin willfully and on purpose. We sin against his love. We sin even though he has blessed us with so many things in life. When rebuking King David for his sins of adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of Uriah, her husband, Nathan came to David in 2 Samuel 12:7 and said, thou art the man. David listened to a story about a man who stole the lamb of his neighbor. And that was him stealing Uriah's wife. But he finished that story, and Nathan told him that he was the man in that story. He was the man that had done that sin. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Such and such things means many more like things. If that wasn't enough for you, he said, I would have given you many more similar things to bless your life and encourage you. And then he says, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? I would give you more blessings. Why did you feel that you needed to sin, he said, essentially. I could have given you right things, things that you enjoy in life, and blessings that we all love. Because sin is not something that we will love. The Bible says sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. The pleasure of sin is for a season. It's for a very short season. And it ends up horrible in the end. And so God wants to bless us and give us right things. And I want to note also the things that the Lord said to David when David wanted to build the temple for God, but God refused to let him build because he had been a man of war, fought so many wars. And in 1 Chronicles 17:7-8, now therefore thus shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheep cote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I've been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth." And God lists here at least four specific things that he did for David. He took him from the sheepcote, a sheepfold. Many people would think about, you know, David keeping sheep in a cave or a small enclosure out in the field. We might think that, you know, just about anything would be better than that. But just because life is lowly or relatively poor doesn't mean it should be despised. Even from following the sheep, God took him. He was going after the strays. He was busy. The livestock keeps you busy. There's no question about that. And humble beginnings may prepare one to be greatly used of God and for greatness. There's no shame in being poor. The Bible says about our Lord that he became poor so that you and I could be saved, so that we could have our sins forgiven. He came to having nothing in this world and leaving all of the riches and the glory and the power that he has in heaven and the throne to come to this earth and to have nothing and to die in our place and to be raised again the third day. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." We have everything we have because the Lord left what he had to come to this earth and to live in this sin-cursed world and to die for our sins and to give his life a ransom for all. And God says to David, "I took you from the sheepfold, the sheepcote, and he made him king of Israel." God's great people gave him his to lead his people and to be king over them. And a great honor and a great responsibility. Every great honor also has with it great responsibility. If God gives us honor, we should fear the responsibility rather than becoming proud over the honor and the glory. No one can put themselves into a role like being the king or put ourselves forward in life. We prepare ourselves to be used of God, but God is in charge and chooses what he pleases. Psalm 75:5-7 says, "Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck." Maybe be careful how you talk about life and positions in life, whether it's being a job or amongst friends or whatever it might be. "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." That's what God does. And for every advancement that he has given you and I in life, we should be thankful and grateful and humbled from what he has done. And so he reminds David that he took him from very lowly beginnings, but he put him with a very great responsibility and to be king over Israel. And then thirdly, he says that the Lord says that he was with him everywhere he walked. And David would walk out to go fight a battle or to do anything in his life. In those days, he pretty much walked to do everything. And he says, "And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked." So the Lord has been with you. He's been with you everywhere you've walked in this world. Every journey that you have gone on, every step from the moment that you get out of bed until you come to lay back down again in the evening, the Lord is with us in every step of our life. From the moment that we have been saved, the Lord has walked with us. And it's interesting because the way it's, the words actually mean that he has been steady with us, that he has that he's not been closer to us one day than he was on another. And the Lord is always close to us. Sometimes we're not close to the Lord, but the Lord's always close to us. And we may have thought that we were alone, but we have never been alone. And the Lord's always been there with us. And he says he's cut off all the enemies. You may not have enemies. You may not have people trying to kill you like David did. Nations rising up against you as he did, but we have no idea what could have happened in our lives without God. You don't know what he has done. He's cut off the enemies. You don't even know he cut off the enemies. I mean, he might have been out on the road and some of them might have been angry and filled with road rage wanting to kill you. And the Lord has kept you safe and kept you back from accidents and all kinds of things. We have no idea. Even during the course of a day, how God has guarded and protected us and watched over us. And so that David, you never read in the Bible that he was ever injured or maimed or harmed in any way, because God was guarding him and protecting him. And he made him have a great name, like the great men of the earth, had fame and importance that so many people seek after. God gave that to David. And for all that God has given us in life, and for all that God has done, and for every step that he has walked with us, we have a certain responsibility to God for what he's done for us. So the Lord said to David, "Wherefore hast thou," in 2 Samuel 12:9, "wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight?" Despise the commandment of the Lord. We trample on a lot of the blessing and the help of God if we choose to do evil. The Lord will consider that we despise, that we look down, that we count it as nothing, that he has blessed us and walked with us in our lives. We want to be careful we don't despise the commandment of the Lord and think, well, it doesn't matter now whether I obey the Lord or not. It matters a great deal. It matters to God. And the question and the point the Lord made in 2 Samuel 12:8, "And if that had been too little, I would have moreover given unto thee such and such things." And if the blessings wasn't enough, God said he would have given more. Was it too little what God had given him? Well, certainly not. And how God feels. God feels that we have cared nothing about pleasing or obeying him, that we have despised him and done evil in his sight. He's always watching what we're doing. And these are questions that we're going to be expected to answer for our sins too. And hopefully our sins are not the sins that David had of that God is rebuking him for here, but God has blessed our lives and he's answered our prayers and he's walked with you. He's been with you there, protecting, shielding, guarding you, blessing you, encouraging you, lifting you up when you were discouraged and cast down. And answering prayers, God is going to take it personally when we sin and deliberately disobey him. He's expecting obedience for all the blessings that he's given in our lives. And when we sin, he's going to be angry. Because he's got a lot invested in our lives and a lot more than we have any idea of and can imagine. And no one can blame God for that. David doesn't blame God. He's just, "Don't chasten me in thy hot displeasure." He's like, don't rebuke me in thine anger. Just ask the Lord to be calm and cool down, as it were, before he does anything. But when we sin, we must be chastened. We must be corrected. That's what the Lord does. It's evidence of his love for us. And in 2 Samuel 12:13, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die." They deserve to die, because for adultery, the penalty under the law was death. And for murder, the penalty under the law was death for that as well. So often in life, we have not gotten what we deserved. I mean, with you and I, if the Lord had given us everything that we had deserved, in rebuking us, in chastening us, we have not. We have been blessed. God has had mercy on us over and over. We have, like David, we have not received what our sins have deserved. So many times, God has been so good to us. Moses tried to encourage the people of Israel to look on their past sins and the trouble that their sins has caused them as God's kindness and correction. He said in Deuteronomy 8:5, "Thou shalt also consider in thy heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee." Well, how does a man correct his son? Well, corrects us like God does, in love, to keep us from going farther into sin, and to avoid. You want your son to avoid having deep regrets in life and from throwing his life away into evil. Deuteronomy 8:6 says, "Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him." This is what God's correction does in our life. It helps us to keep his commandments. Obedience from the heart, willing obedience. Is that what's being brought to pass in our lives? Is that being formed in me and you, that we are willing to obey God? We will do anything that he asks us to do. And not having to be told over and over our duty. We remember, when there's consequences to doing wrong, we remember not to do it. We want to serve out of love and commitment to walk in his ways. So the Bible says, thou shalt, this is what you learn, to keep the commandments of the Lord and to walk in his ways. God has ways of doing things, and his way is that we will not do evil. His way is that we will live by faith. His ways are things like, let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good for the use of edifying. And on. The ways of God are laid out in the scriptures for us. And this is the way that we want to walk and to please God. In obedience to him in all things. And then character is formed to do right from the heart of respect to God and fear God. You know, we ought to be afraid to do wrong. When I was growing up, I was afraid of my dad. When I was on the school bus and other kids were all smoking, and one of my friends was trying to get me to smoke, I wouldn't do it because I was afraid of my dad. many other things. I didn't get involved in as a young person. I wasn't saved until I was 16. And there was a lot of things I didn't get involved in because I was afraid of my dad. We are changed by the chastening of God. Hopefully we have a respect for him and a fear for him. No one gets to the end of life the same way as we started out in the beginning. We're changed by the things we have endured. We're better by the trials of life and the troubles of life. We're better by being battered, as it were. We have a different outlook. And by his grace, a more godly life, love, respect, fear for God. These are things that are being developed in us, without question. He says in verse 2, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I'm weak. Heal me, for my bones are vexed." He's asking the Lord to show compassion, to show mercy, to stoop down in kindness to an inferior. That's what we are. We are so inferior to God, and so sinful and compared to his holiness. And David feels like he's a sinner. He's in some sort of physical pain. He asks God for mercy. You know, you can always ask God for mercy and help. We should pray often and seek God's mercy. Get as much mercy as you can. It's new every morning, the Bible says, and great is his faithfulness. So if you use it all up, then today, today, there's all mercy more for you. And sin makes us weak. He felt weak. Who doesn't feel ashamed when we've done the wrong thing, when we sometimes we look at our lives and we say, well, we knew better. And we heard the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of conscience, but we did the wrong thing anyway. Here's the thing. Never give up on God. Always come back from your sin, no matter how tired it's made you. He talks about feeling old in this psalm as well. And get some strength from God to go on. He says in verse 3, my soul also is sore vexed. My soul is sore vexed. Vexed in my soul, troubled in his very soul. How long? Oh Lord, how long? How long will God chasten us? God will chasten us a very short time. There have been times that I've asked the Lord to shorten the chastening on my life. I've been in difficult days and in difficult circumstances and things were going wrong. I've asked the Lord to shorten it down. Can you shorten the chastening? The Lord is so merciful to us. How long will your chastening be? Well, it's going to be very short. It might be a dark time right now for you. Dealing with this, staying home all the time. Maybe you've lost your job. Not being able to see your family. Not being able to go to church. It has some sort of an effect on everyone. It's a difficult time, but it's the Lord's chastening. Our life is short. This time probably will be very short as well. How long will we have to wait for God to help us? not long. God will help us. And how long will God have mercy on us? Will he have mercy on us forever and ever and ever? Always the Lord will have mercy on you. God will never give up on you. But he won't do your part. In everything the Lord does for us, there's always a part that we play. In every miracle that he performed and healing people, there was always a part for them to play and for us to play. We still have to confess our sins. We still have to seek his forgiveness. We have to make things right. If things need to be right, done someone else wrong, we're going to make them right first with God and then with others. And David's life says to us that, you know, no matter how we have messed up and failed and sinned, we can come back, we can keep going for God. Don't quit on God just because you're ashamed. Come back to him, confess your sins and be forgiven. Do your part to serve him and you'll be surprised how God will bless your life and use you. He says in verse 4, return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me for thy mercy's sake. Return and deliver my soul. Bring me out of this problem. Certainly we can ask God to help us. The idea of return may give us an idea, may make us think, well, you know, has the Lord left him? Now he's asking him to return. And that's not true. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. No matter what you have in this life, you have the Lord. You have everything. And you have his promise that he'll never leave. Lead me as to slacken or to let up. The idea of not doing as much for us. There's never a time when God will not do as much for you. And if you will seek him, he will help you. Certainly he must be disappointed in us when we do evil. And he must chasten us and correct us from that. But he will never leave you. He'll never quit helping you through your life, and he will never forsake you. The word forsake means to totally abandon. And God will never do this. If we feel that God has left us, our sins have given us that feeling, but it's not true. God is not far away. Sin is clouds the mind, you know, we may say to ourselves, you know, well, if I was God, I wouldn't bless me anymore. If I was God, I wouldn't forgive me. If I was God, I wouldn't want to use me again. But you are not God. For God is ever merciful. He's not like us, sinful, mean, small, vindictive. God isn't like that. He wants us to come back. He wants you. He wants you. He knew what would happen to you. And he wants you to return. Guilt is good to bring us back, come back to God. It's good to feel guilty for evil and return to the Lord and confess your sins and have forgiveness. But after we have confessed our sins, do not let false guilt keep you away from God. False guilt clouds the mind. The devil wants to use it to keep you from being close to God again, keep us from going on with Him and being successful and walking. The devil wants to defeat us, and he'll defeat you every way he can. He'll get us in the sin and after sin. He'll try to keep us away from God because we feel bad, but you have no right to feel bad. When the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He makes us white as snow again, perfectly clean. Shame has no place in those who have been forgiven. For Christ took all the shame on the cross. The Bible says He went to the cross despising the shame. And we may feel like God is far away or that He has forsaken you, but do not believe that lie. God has not forsaken you. He never will. And stand with the truth and return to being close to God. James encourages us to do that, to return, to be close to God. And that if we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. And cleanse your hands, you sinners, He says, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. If we will deal with sin, and if we will deal with what's going on in our hearts that shouldn't be there, then we can draw near to God. What a blessing to draw near to Him. I want to encourage you today to be as close to God. Be closer to Him than you have been in this up to this point in your life. Sin, when it enters our life, it does some damage. But it doesn't make you unsaved. God doesn't give temporary life. He gives eternal life. Not temporary until you sin. Christ paid for the sins of every man. He paid for all of our sins on the cross. Sin cannot affect your relationship with God. When you're saved, you became His child. You belong in His family. You belong to Him. You always will be God's child. What sin affects the friendship that we have with God. We know we don't enjoy God's presence anymore. We go around with a scowl on our face. And when we come to repent as a saved soul and ask His forgiveness, we are brought back into that friendship again, and the sun shines again in our heart and life. It is a blessing to serve Him and be close to Him, but sin doesn't affect your relationship. God still walks with us, even when we walk in rebellion. And He does what He can for us, but when we come back in submission to Him, then we can have joy and happiness in our life and a good day of walking with the Lord and being close to Him. That's what we need to have. For He says in verse 5 of Psalm 6, "For in death there's no remembrance of thee. In the grave, who shall give thee thanks?" It's not that people who are dead don't know anything about God. Of course, they go into the saved, go into the presence of God, of the Lord, immediately when they die. But he says, you know, there's death, because chastening can go that far. And in death, He says, "I can't do anything more to make people remember you." We glorify God in our bodies on earth, but nobody can do that when your body is in the grave. And so this is a plea with the Lord to not let Him die. He says in verse 6, "I'm weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with my tears, crying in the night, tossing and turning in bed," just making your bed a mess because you're not sleeping. And terrible times that take away sleep and leave you thrashing around in your bed and praying and crying and all the rest of it. We all will have terrible times like that. David had the rebellion of Absalom trying to kill him. Family concerns of any kind can certainly cause many a sleepless night. You know, will they marry the right person? Will they make the right choices in the life? Will they walk with God? Will they choose to make their marriage good? And will they put Christ first in their lives? So many things. So many burdens you have for your own children. And praying for them and seeking the Lord to bless their lives. Some days we'll be glad to get to heaven. There's so many burdens of life, not just the family, but in your work and in your friends, among your friends. We'll be glad to get to heaven, as the song says, I'm going to lay down my heavy burden. It's going to be good to lay it down. Life has a lot of burdens, and we're supposed to cast our cares upon the Lord, for He careth for you. Don't try to haul your burdens around with your own strength, but cast them on the Lord. And every man shall bear his own burden. Even doing our best to serve God, there are deep sorrows in life. I remember my dad growing up. My dad bought, I think it was 60 Hampshire wieners. He wanted to keep some for sows and breed them with the boar. He paid a big dollar for them. They're a fine looking bunch. And then one by one, they all got rhinitis and their snouts were all twisted up and they were stunted in their growth. And my dad said it hurt him so much that he could have cried. And I've never seen my dad cry. But he was deeply disappointed. Deep waters. The many things in life have brought us to chastening and to difficult circumstances. Everybody will have their sorrows and their sleepless nights. In verse 7 he said, my eye is consumed because of grief. It waxed old because of my enemies. And when you're crying, it just leaves you exhausted in body and in spirit. And sin is in this world. I wish we could get away with it. I wish you could get it all out of your life. But it's just there, and you make mistakes, and you sin, and it just makes you feel tired and old sometimes. And then he said, in verse 8, he said, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Depart. Go away. I'm not going to go with you, he said. You get away from me. he wanted to be with those who were godly and who had a walk with God. He had done what was wrong. He had done what was sinful. He wasn't going to continue down that road. He said, for the Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. What a great thing. Even if your enemy is just in your own mind, that enemy will have to flee when God hears and answers your prayer. And what is better than knowing that God answers your prayer? And he hears the voice of weeping. I think he hates to hear us cry and see us burdened, and looks forward to the day when in heaven he'll take his big hanky and he'll wipe all the tears from our eyes. There'll be no more crying, no death, no sorrow, no pain. What a wonderful thing to be in heaven. The Lord looks forward to bringing us into that kind of life. Eternal life with him forever. And I think he hates to see us cry. But he says in verse 9, the Lord hath heard my supplication, and he will receive my prayer. In Psalm 116, verse 1, the psalmist says, I love the Lord, because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. I am so happy that God answers prayer, he said. And I've seen the answer to prayer, and it's just encouraged me to call on God as long as I live. That's what we want to be. And then in verse 10 he says, let all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. And I don't think this is a vengeful spirit. The Lord says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. He won't let you do that. But I think he's saying, may that even my enemies feel the shame of their sins as I have felt the shame of mine, and it has brought me to a place of repentance. Every child of God is chastened. You know, it's so wonderful when it's over. You know, at last the sun shines again, and you have to endure with patience difficult times in life. God is teaching us something. Sometimes we know when it's over. We know what we learned. We know what God has taught us. And sometimes we don't really know exactly what the Lord has taught us, but we're just glad it's over and pray that we never have to go through the likes of that ever again. And no matter what we've done, we can say with David, you know, I can do better. I've done some things that are wrong, but I will go to the Lord. And he did, and had forgiveness. And he went on to be a great king for the rest of his life. A man after God's own heart. A man with a heart like God. And, you know, wonderful. I want to encourage you this morning, no matter what you're going through, I want to encourage you. Let's say with David, you know, if we've done something wrong, let's confess it. Let's ask the Lord to forgive us. Let's make it right, and go on and serve Him. And if you have not trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, take your whole life and put it down at the foot of the cross. Humble your heart and come with simple faith. Christ died for your sins, according to the Scriptures, and He was buried and rose again the third day. Come and ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you and save you, and surrender your whole life to Him. And as you come in a faith like that, the Lord will forgive you and save you and take you just as you are. And He'll take you and make you clean and whiter than any fuller, and then anyone who washes clothes can never white them. God can make you white and pure and clean. How wonderful to be clean. Let us return to the Lord. If we've walked at any distance away from Him, be closer now than you've ever been as a child of God. And if you're not a child of God, trust Him as your Savior, and do not put off for another moment the need you have in your life to be forgiven and saved, and know that heaven is your home. May God bless you today.
Thank you, Joe, for your message today. May we all be so sensitive to sin, be ready to quickly confess it before the Lord when we know that we have sinned, and then work hard to keep it out of our lives at all times by just the power of the Spirit of God in our very hearts and lives, and for our desire not to disappoint our Heavenly Father, nor our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Joe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for a good morning, for the opportunity to just touch base with one another in this way. Not really the greatest way, but we thank you that we have this opportunity and avenue anyways, and we thank you for making that available. I pray that you will take the words from the message that we've heard this morning and use it to edify our hearts and encourage us, exhort us to the kind of life that is going to be pleasing in thy sight. Our heart's desire is to always do that which is going to revere your name, bring glory to it, and be pleasing in thy sight. And so help us to live and to walk by that faith that is going to please you. And we pray that you will bless Joe for his message even here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, beloved, that's it for this Sunday. May the Lord bless you and keep you close to Himself. May He keep you in peace and safety this week. If you have any needs or you just want to chat, give me a call sometime, anytime. Be happy to chat with you. So, till next time, blessings on you. We are dismissed.